alternatives. Politically, neither of those alternatives has been able to find favor with the Legislative Assembly. This is a third alternative. Hopefully, this one can find favor with the Legislative Assembly and will work. If it doesn't, then we go back to those other two, I believe. And at that point, I think that those people who have said that this won't work will be willing to step forward and give their support to one or the other of the other alternatives. Representative Gold?
Mr. Chair, in relation to whether or not insurance companies will or can participate, this bill has been worked over this session in Human Resources Committee and now in this committee, and the various business organizations that we've enumerated that are in support contain within their membership insurance carriers. To my, the best of my knowledge, there's been no insurance carrier that has come in opposition to this legislation.
Did anyone appear in front of the Human Resources Committee?
No, none appeared in opposition to the bill.
I believe when we had a hearing, I saw the representatives of a number of insurance carriers sitting in the back of this room, and they didn't testify to this committee either support or opposition. So that I don't know what to make of their silence, but at least they weren't opposed. Representative Glory?
It sounds like I may be the only one, then, but I will be voting no on it. Not because I don't think that there is a need or that it isn't difficult, but I have some concerns about a number of things. I have a concern about the definition of employer, which looks to me to be fairly open-ended because of the fact it says 25 in a covered class as opposed to 25 in the whole organization. It seems to me that there's a pretty easy out to that, because I do not like the idea of the payments going into the pool rather than just having it formed, having the pool be the pooling of risk. And because of the main reason why I think it came to this committee, which is the tax credit, because of the fact that I think this is open-ended, I'm real reluctant to be giving tax credits. I don't know whether $25 a month per employee is a large amount, but if you got an open class of people, it can get to be an awfully big number, and we don't even know what that number is. And I think that's what our responsibility is, and therefore I think that I'm not sitting here wanting to write blank checks. So I don't even want to be real negative about it. I think the need is great, but I just don't happen to like some of the aspects of this particular bill as it's written.
$25 or 50%, whichever is less, for the first 2 years, and then it phases out over a period of time, as I recall.
Okay,
is there further discussion on the motion? Okay, the motion is to send House Bill 2594 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Janine, would you call the roll?
Representative Jones?
Aye.
Hardy?
No.
Calori?
No.
Gold?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Hugo?
Aye.
Schoon?
Aye.
Hostica?
Representative Trahearne, do you want to call?
Trahearne votes no.
Hostica votes aye. The motion is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members.
Who wants to carry it?
Tether aye.
Representative Katulski, would you like to carry this?
As long as I can defer any questions on tax credits to the chair of this committee.
Okay. Representative Katulski will carry the bill. One down. We're making progress. At this rate, we'll be here until 9:30.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Trahearne.
I'll file notice of possible minority report.
Representative Trahearne files notice of possible minority report. I think we're under emergency provisions which indicate that the minority reports have to be filed within 24 hours.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
I've been over that bill, that rule recently, and I'm informed that they have to be filed by the close of the next session day.
Okay. If there's any question, we'll get a parliamentary ruling, but Representative Trahearne, you understand the limits that we're operating under. Okay.
You have to write it.
Okay, let's do 541 next. 541 was a bill that was in, I believe it was IGA. And in my discussions with the proponents of the bill, I had thought that there was no need for this bill to come to revenue, yet here it is. So we'll ask those members who are on IGA to tell us why it's here, then we'll take some public testimony. Either one of you like to...
Mr. Chair, I think that would come to my issue to an extent. I asked the bill to come here because they did not put a limit on the percentage of true cash value as far as the rate was concerned. Most all special districts of this type have some kind of a rate limitation. And I felt that it should come here and this committee look at whether or not they wanted to put a some kind of a limit on the rate that that could be levied. And so that's why I felt it
that's
should
a
come.
Single issue that you think this committee
yes.
needs to deal with? Didn't we just take the rate limit off a number of districts?
Taken off about two, but there are probably 25 or 30 that still have it on.
Okay.
And I think there's a reason for most of those.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Hugo?
Question to Representative Trahern. Would that be in Section 9? The amount would be limited by something?
Well, Dick can help me. I think there was a blank in there somewhere at one point.
Dick?
I don't have an earlier version here, but I would think you could put it in Section 9 there. It would really simply read that the rate of taxation is limited to whatever percent you wanted the true cash value of the district as computed under OS 307-205, I believe it is.
Are you Mr. Yandel?
Yes.
Why don't you come up and testify along with Mr. Miller from the Oregon Fire Districts. I think that, you know, you could briefly tell us what the bill does and why we need it, but I don't think that's the issue we're really dealing with in this committee. It's the question we have is on the rate limitation, whether or not we want to do that.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Jones?
Can I add something before they start? Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the reasons I think that Representative Trahern in this particular one especially looked at a rate limit is because there is already funding statewide to establish 911 services. And I think the discussion in our committee, we discussed a great deal whether in fact this was a legitimate situation to do because we're already statewide taxing to provide that. So I think that was the additional complication that created more of a reason to question.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I guess, first of all, my name is David Yandel. I'm manager for communications in the 911 program with the Emergency Management Division. This particular concept was first brought about during the 85 session, at which time Columbia Counties, Lincoln County, and Tillamook County requested the consideration be given to forming countywide 911 service districts, principally to address two problems. One was to establish a mechanism by which a large area could be represented by representatives from within that service area, and secondly, to provide for an equitable method of distributing the cost of a 911 and dispatch system throughout that proposed service area. During the last 5 years, during our implementation of 911 in Oregon, we've seen a large number of counties pursue establishing countywide service areas specifically for the purpose of centralizing and consolidating their 911 and emergency communication systems. Deschutes County subsequently has requested that this be given consideration. Jackson County has requested. So in all, we have approximately six counties. The commonality between those six counties is that they do have countywide 911 and dispatch service all out of one facility. And currently, they are organized under Chapter 190 of the Intergovernmental Agreements Act. The two bills which were originally proposed, Senate Bill 541, which you have before you, and 542, were provided as options specifically to allow local government to choose which form would best fit their local community. The first thing to emphasize is that they're both permissive. The local area would have to agree that that's the concept that they want to pursue. There's a provision in both bills that requires that prior to the actual formation of the district, the governing bodies of all public and private safety agencies would have to provide written concurrence before the formation of the district could ever proceed forward. That was placed in there specifically to prevent turf battles and to depoliticize that formation process as much as possible without putting a controversial issue before the voters. 541 modifies ORS 198, which is the special districts statutes, which deal with a listing of, I believe the current statute provides for 23 different types of districts. 542 deals with the county service districts, and that one, I believe, goes to the floor tomorrow. Section 9 of the original bill, 541, did have a limitation in it. The Senate Revenue Committee, after considerable discussion, stripped it out. As a summary, I guess that's where we're at this point.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Trahern.
What was that limitation?
There was a blank, and we had come in with a proposal that if there was to be a limitation put in there, that it would be 0.05%.
0.05?
0.05, and that was arrived at by making a number of calls throughout the state, taking a look at their assessed valuation countywide, what the present budget requirement was, and that figure was established as being pretty much the norm for the existing systems throughout the state.
Is that 50 cents a thousand? So, or what does 0.05 translate to, Dick?
I'm not sure.
$5 per thousand.
No, 0.05
is 5%.
Yeah.
Now that's...
5% is $50 a thousand.
Yeah.
That isn't what you meant.
0.05%, it may have been.
What do you mean, guys?
1% is said that'd be $5.
Maybe 50 cents.
50 cents, yeah. Right.
Which is 5 cents.
Okay, let's get it here.
Operates in a bucket.
We're dealing with it per thousand. I think everything's screwed correctly.
The whole county operates on a dollar and a half someplace.
The proposed language was the total amount in dollars and cents shall not exceed 0.05% of the true cash value of all taxable property within the district.
That's
5%. Comparable number there was the cemeteries we dealt with just recently was 75 cents.
0.075%,
yes.
With 75 cents. So this would be 50 cents.
That's correct.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Trahern?
I would move that we reinsert that language at 0.05%.
Okay, Representative Trahern moves that in Section 9 we insert a limit that says that the rate of taxation shall not exceed 0.05% of the true cash value of the district. I think the words are contained within the original Senate Bill 541, which I don't have in front of me.
Here.
Okay. Insert in Section 9 after the period, the total amount in dollars and cents shall not exceed 0.05% of the true cash value of all taxable property within the district computed in accordance with ORS 308-207.
Chair, to the motion.
Okay, to the motion, Representative
Trahern. Mr. Chair, I think this is a new program in a new district, and as Representative Jones has pointed out, they are somewhat funded by a present excise tax on telephone bills. I don't have a problem with allowing them to set this up, because this and these folks can correct me, but this is intended to be a continuing operation for the 9LM systems as well as some of the other things they want to do. And I don't mind doing it, but I think we ought to start by putting some kind of a limitation on it, because I'm not sure the voters are going to look at this and understand what 50 cents or $5 or whatever that number may be is proposed to them that we might raise much more than would be needed or whatever without some kind of a basic control. That's an issue that is done in almost all of these other districts in one way or another, and I'd like to see it continue with this one.
Mr. Chair, or both. Okay. Representative Jones.
Does the current, and I can't remember.
Let me just to make sure everything's clean, I'm going to close the public hearing, open the work session. Oh. Representative Trahern has
made a motion to amend Section 9 with the words that I repeated a little while ago, and we're now discussing Representative Traherne's motion. Representative Jones.
Thank you. Now that we're all clear, the current excise tax, does it not have a sunset?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jones, the existing 3% telephone tax has a sunset of January the 1st of 1992.
Mr. Chair, I would suggest that it seems appropriate to me that, and I would ask that Representative Traherne decide this is a friendly or an unfriendly amendment, but that we amend that to sunset at the time that the other tax sunsets, so that the cap is only there as long as the other tax is in effect.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Traherne.
I could consider that friendly if this or a future legislature does not extend that other tax.
I think at the point that would be repealed, whatever that date may be.
Okay.
Okay, what? No, I mean, are you considering it friendly?
I consider it friendly.
Then the amendment would be prior to, when is that date?
Mr. Chairman, January the 1st, 1992.
Well.
Okay, for years prior to January 1st, 1992, the tax limit would be in effect.
Yeah, I just want to ask a quick question.
Representative McCarty.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that I understand this. Each year, the district board shall determine and fix the amount of monies to be levied and raised by taxation. Now, somehow I was under the impression this was a tax base, but every year they'll have to go to the taxpayers for a determined amount. Is this the way I'm reading it?
Mr. Chairman, Representative McCarty, the intent was that through the district, that they would have to comply with the existing state budget law requirements and therefore have to take their budget before the voters each year, just as any of the rest of the districts do.
Can they have a tax base? They could have a tax base.
I believe that's correct, Mr. Chair.
So long as the tax base didn't cause you to exceed your rate limit. Yeah, you couldn't levy that. Representative McCarty.
Okay, then they could have a tax base and don't have to go to the people each year.
Mr. Chair, Representative McCarty, that's correct.
Well, I didn't see the tax base in here. Whereabouts is it that you're given the authority to have a tax base? Which part? I've been looking and looking and looking.
Tax base is in Article 11, Section 11 of the Constitution. The powers under Section 8, Subsection 4, to assess, levy, and collect taxes are limited by Article 11, Section 11 of the Constitution. I believe that's how it would work. Unless there's some place in the bill that specifically references tax bases.
Mr. Chair, Representative McCarty, if I might, I don't profess to be an expert in special districts or in the taxing process. When the bill was drafted, the concept was to add to the definition section of existing Oregon law the provision that would allow the creation of such a district, but to require that they comply with any of the rest of the districts and the procedures for establishing a tax base, putting the budget before the voters, the election of the members, and it's paralleled as closely as possible to the existing requirements that are placed on any district.
Don't get me wrong, I'm looking for your sake. I'm just thinking your language for a tax base better be in here someplace, and I don't know, I went through the bill and I didn't see any tax base, you know? And if it's here, show me, somebody, anybody.
Representative Jones.
This is adding to the special district section what all the other special districts have the ability to do. Is that correct, Dick?
Yeah.
So if the other special districts and other provisions in the statute are capable of getting a tax base, then this simply adds that this definition of an additional district to that same reference.
Yeah, in Section 8, where it declares essentially to be a municipal corporation, I can't reference exactly what law that is, that, but they're all treated, they're all subjected to local budget law. And under local budget law, they have the right essentially to seek voter approval for a tax base at a general or a biennial general election, primary election.
Okay, I believe that I'm satisfied that the way I read this is that they have the normal powers of a municipal corporation, and those include the ability to have a tax base as limited by Article 11, Section 11 of the Constitution, and that if the district, if we do put in a rate limitation, the district board is still required to determine and fix the amount of money to be levied and raised in taxes, which could not exceed its tax base, but could be less than the tax base, could also not exceed the rate limit, whichever is more restrictive, as I understand statutory construction. If you have two limits, the one that's most limiting is the one that applies. So that, and then the issue arises as it, whether we want to sunset that rate limit as of January 1st, 1992, or whether we want to give the 911 districts the opportunity to come to the 1991 legislature and ask for a repeal of their rate limit. Because my bet is that before the 1999 legislature convenes, they'll be in here asking for the repeal of the rate limit, but that's a little side bet I'll make on the side. Representative Hanlon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question. Who presently gets the 911 monies? Is it the counties for distribution?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanlon, currently the provision in the statute calls for the funds to be distributed on a quarterly basis to cities based on their incorporated population and to counties based on their unincorporated population. So cities and counties both receive the 3% telephone tax monies right now.
What would be the intent of this bill so far as affecting that distribution? Would these districts then have to apply to those cities and counties to make their case?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hinton, if I might, and I believe also answer one of Representative Trahan's questions, to give you an example of the need for this particular type of a district. In Deschutes County, they established a countywide 911 system, which includes the 911 telephone access, and at the same time, they also created a countywide dispatch facility. Prior to that system going into operation 2 years ago, there were 12 separate agencies that were providing dispatching service within Deschutes County. The combined cost of the system today in Deschutes County is just under $500,000 annually. They receive, they being the cities and the counties in Deschutes County, receive approximately $250,000 from the 3% telephone tax, leaving them with a balance of approximately $250,000, which currently has to come from each user of the system. The problem has been that with the nature of these multi-user agencies, and I would emphasize that's the specific need that this district concept is aimed at trying to resolve, is where each year the user board or the elected officials must sit down and determine under what means they will charge back or distribute the remaining cost over and above the 3% telephone tax. Because each agency deals differently with their voters, and one city, for instance, may have a difficult time passing a budget and they're unable to come up with their part of the share, it causes a great deal of internal confrontation between the agencies in trying to come up with the additional amount. They're trying to spread the cost that's over and above the 3% tax out over all of the citizens within the service area, and thereby have a consistent, stabilized means of funding their system.
Let me ask my question again. Would the 3% go to the new, directly to the newly established district or to the cities and counties?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanlon, it would go to the cities and counties as it is currently being done, that part of the system as far as to the revenue coming from the 3% tax wouldn't change.
And these are basically a uniform county or whatever district-wide district in order to equalize the difference of the cost to the system. Is that what you're saying?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanlon, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Scone?
Now, you said they are two functions, did you? You keep talking about two functions. The centralized dispatch system and then also the 911?
Mr. Chair, Representative Scone, that's correct. The 911 telephone service is the access to the dispatching system, which may or may not have already been in place prior to the 911 law being adopted in 1981. The difference in a situation such as with Deschutes County is that individual agencies, such as the City of Redmond, the City of Bend, several fire districts, all did their own dispatching. When they sat down to develop their plan for implementing 911, one of the issues that we have emphasized throughout the state is the need to take a look at the possibility of being able to merge or consolidate services to reduce the overall cost of providing that service. Because the law requires that a 911 system include either central dispatch, call relay, or transfer of a 911 call, many of the counties have chosen to go with a centralized dispatch system. The 3% telephone tax, without almost exception, will cover the cost of strictly implementing the 911 telephone service. That's just the access to whatever dispatching system you already have. But when you merge in the cost of the dispatching operation, without exception, there are none of them that are able to cover that cost with 3% tax.
Okay, you said that one of the reasons for merging was to reduce costs. And you said there were, I think, 11 districts, and some of them, I don't know how many had dispatch systems. Are you indicating that there was no money saved by the consolidation? Or are you saying that now that it's done, the counties want the district to assume the entire responsibility and so that they can use the money that they were spending for their own dispatch system for something else?
Mr. Chair, Representative Scone, I understand perfectly your question. In the case of Deschutes County, their cost was estimated totally with their former system approximately $700,000, which was expended from each individual agency. So they had a savings of approximately $200,000. The problem with the merger is, for instance, in some law enforcement agencies, the person that was doing dispatching was also the clerk matron or the records person within a police department. They did not lose that person. That person is still there. They simply pulled the function of dispatching from them. So while the cost for dispatching, from a standpoint of taking a look at their total cost, appears to be less, there still is some duplication in manpower, and in some instances, they've had to actually add manpower.
Question for staff. What would happen if we changed the county's distribution to the based on the proportion of telephones rather than population? As long as we're going to complicate this bill, we might as well.
Are those just residential telephones?
Commercial only.
Okay, let's see if we can take a vote on First of all, Representative Trahearne, do you want to have the kind of sunset on it or not in your motion?
Mr. Chair, I was buying the concept of the sunset in concept, if you will, and I would think that the way I would want to word that sunset is if the 3% excise tax is repealed, that we could repeal this at the same time, or that is that this would go away at the same time, the limit would go away at the same time. And that then says that if the 3% excise tax continues, the limit would also continue.
Is there an ORS reference that we can use to then draft that, which would say that so long as the taxes imposed by ORS, and then you fill in the blanks, meaning the 3% for telephone tax, as long as that tax is being imposed, the rate limit shall be 0.05%. And then when that goes away, the rate limit goes away. Okay? Representative Trahearne's amendment. Is there further discussion on the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Scone?
The amendment includes the rate of 0.05. Bill and 0.05.
But it also says that rate limit is in effect so long as the 3% telephone tax is imposed.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just would like to, I guess, ask first before we vote, where you came up with the figures. I know you said that you made some phone calls, you did some figuring to determine that 50 cents was the correct amount, and I don't understand why one dispatch and phone service would be that much when whole counties are operating on 2.5, a little more. Other revenues.
Mr. Chair, Representative Schoon, the three that I checked with were Columbia County, Jackson County, and Lincoln County. The assessment was based on their current budget, which includes 911 and dispatching applicable to this type of a service district arrangement. And we obtained figures from their assessors in each county and established the amount from that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm going to support the amendment. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to try to suggest a different figure because I don't have the ability to do that. But I think with the... First of all, the ability we gave the employees to settle their disputes with binding arbitration, I think that we're going to see these districts bounced up to the maximum and then and used entirely and then maybe even asked to increase it later on. So, I guess we'll vote yes on the amendment.
Sure. Okay. Are there any objections to the amendment? Hearing none, so ordered.